Father, I thank you for Jerry and all that he does, Lord, faithfully and continually, without fault, Lord, but perhaps, Lord, faithfully and without ceasing. And that's not easy, to keep on doing what you do, one step after another, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless his faithfulness by filling him with the Holy Spirit now, Lord, and giving him the joy of being able to preach a message, knowing that it's from you, knowing that you are speaking through him, Lord. Set him free to serve in this special way with a great reward for him, which will also encourage us, Lord, and build us up. Edify your church, we pray, and all those who will hear what you've got to say through him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. The hardest thing, and Rob knows it well, that I find about sermons, and the hardest thing is putting a title on it. Because I always feel it's like trying to put the Lord into a box. You know, and you can't, he's so big, so awesome, so immense, you can't tie him down because he's everywhere. So how can you ever put him into a box? And I've entitled today's message, having said that, our strength comes from the Lord. You know, there is nowhere else and no one else that we can rely on to give us the strength that we need. I'm going to start with a reading from James 1, or chapter 1, James chapter 1, 1 to 16, and it'll be on the overhead. I, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, becomes, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that by your Holy Spirit you will open it up to us this morning. Lord, that we may hear from you what you have to correct each one of us, because your word tells us that scripture is good for correction and instructing. So Lord, instruct us this morning through your word, I pray. Let my lips be your lips, Lord, and anything that's not of you, just blow it away like chaff on the wind. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I say, our strength comes from the Lord. And you know, Roy touched on this morning when he prayed about the state of this world. And you look at it, and the things that people are relying on for their strength. You know, you see the sports and all that. Oh, great, we've won the FA Cup, or we've won the World Cup, or we've won this. All of those things are only temporal. They're going to fade away. We won it in 66, didn't we? Well, not us. You English won it in 66. But that's a lifetime away. Well, Daniel doesn't remember it, does he? There's a few, but I think most of us will remember a little bit of it. It doesn't really matter. We need to just rely on the Lord. And I think what James is trying to get across to us is that we need to remember, most importantly, that we are sinners. And no matter how good we try to be, we continue to sin. You know, so we are not the finished object by any chance or any stretch of the imagination. We've got to keep on striving to become like his son, Jesus. But if we depend upon the Lord and rely on his strength, we can put up with the temptations and the trials that'll come our way. But we need to go to him first. Because at times we do it. We try to rely on ourselves, don't we? And we put ourselves through all of the angst and the pain of the temptation or the trials that we're going through. And only when it gets unbearable do we think, I know what to do. I'll come to the Lord. I'll take it to the Lord. That should be our first port of call. Anytime we've got trials and tribulations, take it to the Lord. As the old song goes, take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. But how many of us think that we're mature and we can handle it on our own? And only when it gets out of hand do we go back to the throne of grace. And I'm sure he laughs at us, just as we do at our children. We've seen our children do silly things and you ask them why they've done it and they deny it. But we can laugh at it because we know that that was them. And our God knows everything about us. There is nothing that we conceal for him. But I think James is reminding us that when the going gets tough, that we need to and we can rely on God. He is telling us that although the testing of our faith can be painful, it will help us to develop perseverance, which allows us to mature as Christians and will help us to grow more like the image of Jesus. We'll never get there in this life. It won't be until he comes and in the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, that we will be changed, and then we will become the full and the proper image of the Lord. He reminds us that as children of God, we can ask him for anything that we lack, and he will help us to cope with any situation that we find ourselves in. As long as we believe and not doubt, he will meet all of our needs. We can read in Isaiah 54 in verse 10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. What a God we have, and what a pleasure it is for us to be able to come here this morning to worship the King of Kings. Let us hold firmly to the fact that matters. What changes in our world? The effects of God for us, his children, will never change. This world changes from one time to another. One time things were unlawful. Now they're not only lawful, they're celebrated, you know, in this world. But the Lord's will and his promises never change. And he doesn't support all of the changes that the world makes, because his word is set in stone and will stand for all times. He will never love us any less because he couldn't love us any more than he does. He will never pour his wrath out on us because he's already poured it out. on his son, who went to the cross to take and pay the price for our sins. That's the God that we have come to worship. That's the God in whom we can confidently place our trust and our faith. And that is the God whom we can approach expectantly in prayer. How many of us read the Word of God and digest it? And if we're honest, try as hard as we do, conclude that some of it just seems like a historical or a chronological record of things that happened in a bygone age. Thousands of years ago, it's historical. And we read about the culture and the practices of the old times. They seem so far and so distant. And we may tend to conclude, whether consciously or subconsciously, that that was what God said then. Now, some of the churches, I think the way they've changed, they have got this mindset. They think that that's the way God was then. He behaved, or he appeared to those particular people at that period of time. You know, and we may ask ourselves as we read through Numbers, Exodus, and various other Old Testament books, what is their relevance to my life today? How does this relate to me? Now, the danger is that if we don't bridge this reality of perceived distance and time, we may ourselves be falling far short of where the Lord wants us to be. If we look at these pages of the Bible and make separation between the spiritual and the secular in our life, we may be missing many blessings that the Lord wants to give each and every one of us. Now, we all know our job and how we earn a living and we go to school. That's our secular life. And how we come to the Lord through his word, we come to Bible classes or prayers or whatever. That is their spiritual element. Now, some people try to keep them separate. And honestly, it just won't work. We need to get to a position where God himself saturates all of our being, both the secular and the spiritual. We need to begin to understand that the Word of God has an awesome relevance with our whole life. It's a journey of moving from knowing God's Word to knowing the God of the Word. Abraham's God, Jacob's God, Moses' God, the God of Daniel, all the prophets and the apostles and all the church fathers down the ages, this same God is still the God that we have come here this morning to worship. He has not changed. We have, hopefully, through his grace and his strength. This same God will never change. God has been, and he's seen all of the cultural changes. And we need to be aware of it. God's word, the historical differences and features that these pages bring to us, that we cannot bridge, but the Holy Spirit will help us to bridge the gap if we ask him and ask him for his guidance. And that's what we should do. When we bring our Bibles out to study, we should proceed it with prayer and ask for help and guidance to get rid of all the anomalies that the old mindset will try to throw in there. Now, we cannot go back in time to those days. We've got to face it. We are living in a modern, contemporary world. But the Bible was not written to show us how people lived in those times, but to reveal to us the God that they knew. The same God that we know, because God's word tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracle of grace and the miracle of this book is that it is the living word of God. I can know the enjoyment and the same intimacy with the relationship day by day simply because he is unchanging. He doesn't have spats where he doesn't want to speak to me. He doesn't fall out with me when I say the wrong thing. He loves me for who I am. And he loves each one of you where you are at this minute. You know, within the Godhead, there is no conception of growth, development, or change. There is no variation within the Trinity. God is the unchangeable, eternal God, ever the same. When we look at such a vast subject as this is, we must ask the question, how is God unchangeable? God's nature doesn't change. He tells us he is from eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is described as the eternal King, the immortal God. Psalm 90 tells us, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before creation became matter, before it came into existence, God was there, unchanged from what he is at this very moment in time. Hard for us to get our head around, but just look what Scripture tells us in Psalm 102, verse 26 tells us of creation. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like garments, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. Isaiah said, he is the first and he is the last. And this is repeated in Revelations. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the unchangeable, eternal God. And that immediately brings the distinction between the Creator and the created. The Creator is unchangeable. The created, you and I, were created. We are changeable. And sometimes we change just the flip of the coin. Yeah. All of creation is tarred with the same brush of changeability. All we can see around us is subject to that change. It has a beginning and it will have an end. But our God, as we've already stated, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know it's hard to understand, but there's a hymn which I think puts it quite well. And part of it goes, we blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree. We wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. You know, our bodies are subject to change in either of two directions, for better or for worse. But our Lord can't get any better. He can't get any worse because he doesn't change. In fact, if we were to think about God getting better or worse, we have ceased to think about God. That might sound a bit profound, but you know, just mull it around a bit. He is compared to a rock that cannot be moved. He's immovable. A rock in the midst of the ocean of his universe. And while the whole of this ocean is continually fluctuating, or as Isaiah puts it in 57:20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. And Psalm 146, verse 3 tells us, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Why? As I've already said, people are fickle. God created creatures and we change at every whim. And you know, we can't put our faith in humans, because if we do, sooner or later, they're going to let us down. We do it to people we love. We disappoint them from time to time. We say the wrong thing, or we hear the wrong thing, and we give the right answer to the wrong question. You know, how many of you men have done that? You know, does my bum look big in this? No, not in this mirror. No. You know, but we've got to be careful on who we trust. And there's only one person that we can trust 100%, and that is the Lord himself. There are people who will be your best friend today, and tomorrow they can turn out to be your worst enemy. I've experienced it in my life, and I'm sure many of you have as well. You remember the multitudes who cried out as the Lord was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" And yet, that same crowd would later cry out, "Away with him, crucify him." That's how fickle that we can be. We can be unreliable, but there is one upon whom you can always rely. No matter what else is changing in this world, the Lord's affection for each one of us, for each of his children, never changes. As I said before, he will never love you any less. Why? Because he couldn't love you anymore. His purpose for your life is fixed. His word is dependable and sure, and we can stand upon it. The permanence of his character is awesome, a wonderful encouragement for each of us to surrender our lives totally to him. What a privilege to be accepted as a child of God, to be able to come before his throne in prayer, knowing that he's not only listening, like we do at times, we listen, but I am accused of it by my wife at times. I don't hear, you know. But he listens and he hears those prayers. And you know, most of the time he's answered them before we've even prayed them, because he knows what's put in our heart. Because if we're praying in his will, then the Holy Spirit is telling us what we should be praying for. God's character doesn't change as ours can. We can be up 1 minute and down the next. Our characters can affect a whole range of circumstances. We all have different tastes, different opinions, and different outlooks on life. Our tempers can range radically at times. We can seem to take on a Jekyll and Hyde-like character. We are prone, because we are human, to all kinds of illnesses. And the most cruel, in my opinion, and it's been on the news a minute, quite a lot at the minute, is that of dementia. And that must be very, very cruel. I don't know the Lord's mercy for the person who's got the dementia or for the family who haven't. I can't work out in my mind which is worse, because that person might have the calmness and peace in themselves, knowing that they're intact, but we're worried about because they don't recognize us. But you know, what I would hate to be is that for God to have dementia about any one of us because we didn't know him and he doesn't know us. It's just something to think about, but that's an aside. In Exodus 3:14, God reveals himself to Moses. "I am who I am." Couldn't be any simpler. Couldn't be any more profound. A shortened version of that statement is the name Jehovah, the name of God, Yahweh, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who shall ever be eternal, the unchangeable God that we know and love and that we can rely on. This wasn't a description of God, but a declaration of who he was. Not who he was, I've written who he was, but who he is, because there's no was. He is. He always was. He is the eternal, never-changing God. God's truth does not change. We're all human here. Well, I hope we are. And we have all met people who don't do what they say, or say what they do, or for that matter, say what they mean at times. The Bible calls them hypocrites and liars. And, you know, if we're honest, we can all be prone from time to time of falling into that trap. You know, we're all capable of bearing false witness and trying to appear better than we really are. One of the reasons for this could be there are times when we don't know our own minds. People can be double-minded, unstable in all their ways, tossed to and fro like chaff in a storm or waves in the sea. They change their minds and opinions. And that's why you can find believers who question their faith and seem to do a 180-degree turn, totally changing their beliefs. And we should guard against this and take heed of what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 89. Tells us, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And in verse 52 of the same psalm, "Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever." Don't know about you, but I find it refreshing. In a world that is plagued and poisoned by greed, materialism, individualism, political correctness, yet there seems to be no requirement for biblical truth. As Christians, we may be challenged if we display a symbol of faith. If we wear a cross or anything similar, a fish symbol on our jacket, and we go to work, we could be poked either fun at or told to remove it. It's happened. If we stand up for our faith as the couple who refused to allow a gay couple to share their bedroom in the guest house a few years ago now, or the TV ads that are on for everything now, the family is no longer like the wholesome father, mother, and two kiddies. It's him and him and her and her and whatever goes, the dog and the cat, it doesn't matter, you know. Yet Pilate, as he stood before our Lord Jesus Christ and asked that question that the world is asking today, what is truth? You know, Pilate wanted to know what truth was. We hear the Buddhists, the Islamists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and many others, and they have all got their own version of the truth. Is it any wonder then that the world that we live in today is so confused? The Word of God says, "My truth is settled in heaven. It will never change. I have established my testimonies, my decrees. My word is like me. It is timeless." And praise the Lord, it's not a relic of a bygone age. It's not something that we relegate to a certain dispensation. It's alive, and it's in heaven today, and it will never change. As the Lord said, not one jot, not one tittle will be removed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. You'd be pleased to hear, I'm going to close shortly. And if you don't remember anything else from this morning's message, just remember these. It was going to be 3 points, but I've added another one, so 4 points. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchangeable. His word is like him, timeless. It will never change, not one jot, not one tittle. He will never love any of us any less because he cannot love us anymore. How do we know this? His word in John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life." And, oh, the one extra point. Don't forget where your strength comes from. Our strength is in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we come to you, the unchanging God, who is always ready to grant us by his grace, his mercy, and his love. Father, we thank you that even though the mountains may fall into the midst of the sea, and the earth be removed, and the heavens shattered like glass, there is a God in heaven who will never be moved. There is a God whose word will never be changed. There is a God whose Son is always able and available to save those who earnestly seek him. Help us to never forget, as the words of that lovely hymn point out, that it's only by grace we can enter. Only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavors, but by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we ask you to help us and to protect us during this coming week, and give us the courage, Lord, to introduce your Son to those that you will surely send across our path this week. And Lord, we just ask that you bless us this morning. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.